Well, it's a privilege, folks, getting to share with you from a passage of Scripture that I love. And it contains so many things that can minister to us every day from this Psalm 119 that frankly is a booklet, a verse a day gives us something for which we can pray every day. One little verse, some of the most wonderful prayers in the Bible we find in Psalm 119. And tonight we're going to remember presence. Now obviously it's a time of year in which we celebrate, often by giving one another gifts. I got a couple of fun ones. And in addition, we take this time of year to celebrate God's greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember His virgin birth, and as we consider that then, and its beginning of God's ultimate expression of redemption, we remember Christ's perfect life on our behalf to satisfy the Father's righteous demands. We remember His substitutionary death, a gruesome death for us that we might have hope. We remember His triumphant resurrection in which death no longer has any sting. And we consider His return, which gives us even greater hope that we'll spend eternity with our Lord. You can't get better gifts than that. But while we're on earth, God has provided other gifts that help us and guide us and minister to us, and we certainly need them in this world. And we're going to see a couple of those in Psalm 119. If you want to turn there, we'll be looking at verses 65 through 72. And I will read the text and then we'll consider what the Lord has for us. Beginning with verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. What a blessing we have from the Lord. And as Greg prayed, that was an appropriate text as we see the gifts that God has for us. So when we consider this passage, the centerpiece of it, the whole centerpiece of this particular stanza is, it's comprised of three words in verse 68. You are good. You are good. And the psalmist, as we'll see, begins the passage talking about God's goodness. He goes through the passage identifying all kinds of ways God has been good to him, focusing on a couple of them. And friends, we have a good God. He's not good some of the time and mad some of the time. He's not good some of the time and just some of the time. Our God is always good. His goodness, yes, may be accompanied by His wrath poured out against sin, but His goodness never fades away, never goes away. Our God is good. And fellow believer, fellow Christian, hold fast to the truth that our Lord is good. Every good thing, we're told by James, is from above, coming down from the Father. Our God is good. And so when we look at this passage, what gifts did the psalmist receive that would cause him to say in verse 65, "You have dealt well with your servant, according to your word"? What was he thankful for? Well, I believe we can summarize this passage with this statement, that God expresses His abundant goodness through His word and His discipline. God expresses His abundant goodness, His gifts, through His word and His discipline. So let's look, first of all, at the gift of God's word. Obviously, this is mentioned a lot in Psalm 119. Here, the psalmist focuses on it again when he says that you have dealt well with your servant according to your word. Now, notice he doesn't just say you've dealt well with your servant. We could say that, and then we could go on to think of countless ways God has blessed us. Countless ways. But the psalmist says what? According to your word. So what are some of the blessings in this psalm that would cause the psalmist to make declarations like he does? You are good and do good. And why would he pray the things like he prays? Teach me your statutes. Well, here are a few of them. Here are a few of them that are identified just in this psalm, and these are just a few. God, first of all, used His word to provide the psalmist with counsel, and boy, did he need it in the midst of all the afflictions surrounding him, whether it was David, Daniel, Ezra, whoever wrote it. All of them, think about it. Didn't they desperately need counsel? In verse 24, he calls God's words His counselors. God used His word to provide the psalmist with comfort. In verse 52, "I remember your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and what? Comfort myself." He provided the psalmist with revival through His scriptures, as the psalmist thought of them in verse 50. He says, "This has become mine." I'm sorry. "My comfort is this, that your word has revived me." He also provided the psalmist with stability. "If your law," he says, "had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." If I didn't have that to hold on to, I would have perished in my affliction. It goes on. He provided him with wisdom to the point that the psalmist would even say, "I have more insight than all my teachers because of this book." And He provided him with absolute truth, reliable truth. He says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. That's in verse 160. So isn't it any wonder that the psalmist would pray what he does in the very next verse, in verse 66, in which he prays, "Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments." Of course, he would go to God, "You've done this, you've given me all of this, teach me more." And in verse 68, after he makes that statement, "You are good," what does he pray? "Teach me your statutes." Give me more of this. And it's no wonder also that he would make this statement in verse 72, in which it's like a culmination of his excitement in having God's word. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." And understand, thousands, what would they mean to us? It would be millions. People didn't have millions of gold and silver pieces. Millions and millions of dollars. He says, "The word of your mouth, the law of your mouth is better to me than all of that." And don't we see why? For just a few of the reasons I listed. Read the psalm and you'll find all kinds of things. And don't we have far more revelation? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's precious promises, in which he adds more to those that he already gave. Instruction for his body. So much wisdom. The list goes on. And so it's no wonder that we see this heart in which the psalmist is grateful for what God has given us. So think about it. Have the scriptures become to you a little bit dull? Do you find the Bible sitting there, not necessarily opened as much as you would like? Sometimes do you feel compelled to read it in order to keep up with the spiritual Joneses? I've got to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to read the Bible this many times. I'm going to use so-and-so's reading plan. Why? Well, because I'm supposed to. Well, this book has God as its author, the maker of the universe. He's graciously revealed his gospel to us, his wonderful promises to us, so many things that are life-giving to us. You and I need this book. We need the scriptures, and all of you that have come know that. But it's a good reminder when we read this stanza. We have to have it. And that can make it more precious the more we realize, first of all, the mind of God is on in its pages, not the mind of a great commentator. And as we enjoy this book, as we pray through it, as we see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in it, the only place we can see him, we can grow in joy and have that heart attitude that we see reflected in verse 1, "How blessed or happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." So God expresses his abundant goodness through his instruction, and he expresses his abundant goodness through his discipline. We read in verse 67, "Before I went astray, I'm sorry, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And verse 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may keep your statutes or learn your statutes. Now, all of us experience all kinds of afflictions. And God, in His providence, understands that He uses those afflictions for all kinds of reasons. Maybe an illness, God chooses to comfort us so that we can see our Lord as the God of mercies, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. He may do that same thing in a great trial that we're going through. The Lord may teach us to rest in His grace when we're going through a tribulation that is a long one, maybe even a lifelong one. When we're experiencing things like the Apostle Paul did, where he asked, please take this thorn away. Please take this thorn away. God's answer, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And we certainly experience afflictions, not a lot, but some, as followers of Jesus Christ. And boy, did the psalmist, as a follower of God, when you read it, over and over and over, his enemies were after him, slandering him, maligning him, plotting against him. But there's another affliction that God deliberately brings about in our lives to guide us back into the straight and joyful path of obedience. And that's the affliction I believe the psalmist is talking about. Back in verse 10 of the psalm, he says this. It always fascinated me, and I came to this point and saw how God dealt with it. He says, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. The psalmist knew his heart and that he could wander. Not turn from obeying God's commandments in a flagrant, awful, disgusting way, but he could wander. Kind of like the hymn, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Well, what was the affliction that the psalmist experienced? I believe it consisted of the discipline that God applies to the hearts of those who wander into sin. Consider this yourself. When you find yourself wandering into sin, you're afflicted with consequences, not only of the sin itself, but your heart has no rest. The Lord convicts your wandering heart. His hand sometimes is heavy on your heart. You're burdened. You have no joy. You're restless. Struggling. Just like Psalm 32 that we've read about, where God forgives our sins at first, the psalmist was a mess in his heart. Or in Psalm 73, we read about Asaph, who was jealous of the rich, and he saw all they had and everything, and he said it was basically senseless until he came into the house of the Lord, and then he realized his bitterness, and his heart was changed, so that he made one of the most wonderful statements that we have heard in the Bible. Who do I have in heaven, Lord, but you, and besides you, I desire nothing on earth. So through his afflictions, God humbles us. He reveals that the sin that we have, the guilt that we have, and what does he do? In the grace of his gift of repentance, he helps us see that, and he gives us the strength to bring us back to that joyful path of obeying him. So the Lord's discipline, the Lord's affliction, is a good gift. Because it brings us back to that path where we alone receive happiness in following Christ. Jesus talks about entering a narrow gate. Often we see the path of following God referenced in the scripture, a narrow one, and we're warned to be careful from wandering. And God in his grace uses affliction to bring us back to it. So let's consider in our own hearts, whether are we troubled? Do we feel struggle and burden because of sin we realize that's caused us to wander? Repent of that sin, turn to God, find his peace and know his joy. And let's give thanks for even the gift of afflictions that we might continue to follow God on that wonderful path of obedience. So those are the good gifts that the psalmist mentions in this psalm, and they come from a God who is good. Let's go before him now. Our Lord, we thank you very much for your good gifts, your holy scriptures that give us all that we need for life and for godliness, for eternal life through faith in Christ. And we thank you for the goodness even of your discipline, your afflictions. And help us, Father, not to despise it, but to receive it with humility that we might follow you in love, and that we might know that joy that comes through obedience as your children. We ask all this, and please bless our time now of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.